device that will be that I'm going to be talking about is a Pocket PC. It's a Windows Mobile 6 device, some ways similar to some of the smartphone technology people have been talking about, but it's a device with a bigger screen and a slightly better computer than some of the smartphones. And for some of the things we're doing, we needed more power and a better screen. There's a large group that's been working on this and a large team of other players who've been doing global tobacco research, so I'm really the spokesperson for a large and very active group that's been involved in this tobacco work and mobile computing. The environment we're working on is the Global Adult Tobacco Survey, or GATS. GATS is a relatively new program, started in 2006, again with Bloomberg and Gates money, attacking what is going to be a major public health epidemic. The solution to, or the disease impact of tobacco use is high, and in developing countries where smoking is still very high, rates over 50% for many males, the public health consequences are very severe. So it's an important thing to attack, and we know the solution for tobacco control. Just get people to stop using it. So the GATS program is a core surveillance activity to monitor tobacco use in countries. And we've begun this process with 16 countries around the world, building core systems that will look at tobacco use within countries over time and between countries. The goal of the program is to develop nationally representative samples in each country that would provide at least national levels. In some countries, state-level estimates will be done. Typically, these are surveys of 10 to 15,000 households covering the entire country. The country coverage is shown on these maps. The first set of countries are selected to get countries with very high smoking rates and large populations. And if you combine those two factors, you've got a large number of the smokers. So, of course, India and China are in the project and are currently, China is just about to get started with data collection. India has begun. Those two countries alone have a very large percentage of the smokers in the world and growing numbers instead of declining numbers. Two of the countries are using their own software. Thailand has developed their own software. They're part of the GATS program. There is a common questionnaire and a common core of data collected in all these countries. One of the reasons to automate this process is to try and get consistency and common data quality across the data collection activity. And that's a core activity for this group. So in Brazil and Thailand, they're using their own software. All the others are using RTI-developed software that we've ported to GATS. And this slide gives a quick picture of where we're at, where we're completed some surveys already in the red countries, underway or completed pretests in other countries. There's a large number of partners involved in this activity. Typically, there are in-country partners, very often the Ministry of Health, sometimes the Census Bureau or national statistical agencies would be involved in the data collection. They are the lead data collection agency. These other players, the World Health Organization, U.S. Centers for Disease Control, the Foundation, Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and RTI are all support units that help the country affect this local survey. They may help with sample design, they may help with questionnaire development, software technology. RTI and CDC have been going to the countries to train people how to use the hardware and software tools. So there's a large group involved in these activities, and we've been pretty busy in the last 2 years getting underway. So what I really want to talk about is the electronic data component of GATS. The GATS program is much broader than this, but a core activity in the GATS process is to provide tools to collect data and to provide a tool that will give a common way to collect data to make the data quality more comparable across countries. And we believe that one of the benefits of using these program tools is you get that. So the hardware and software used in GATS is this Windows Mobile device. This is Windows Mobile 6. This is a nice unit now, bigger screen, high resolution, good quality system that's effective for data survey work. We've used this device in the U.S. for a number of surveys and have used it on GATs now in multiple countries. And the software system is something we call the General Survey System, or GSS. It's an RTI-developed product that we developed over the last 8 years for U.S. surveys that we've been doing. And then for the GATS project, it was modified extensively to do international surveys and to support multiple languages. It's available as public domain software through the CDC and has been used at no charge for in these countries. So what does it do? It's a system that provides a case management feature which lets you do case management, record events or dispositions or outcomes of cases, assign cases, keep track of a caseload at the individual IPAC level. The typical model is each interviewer is given a handheld computer, there's a caseload. The systems have two sort of peripheral add-on slots. There's a compact flash slot that would allow the addition of things like a cellular modem, a regular telephone modem. We use those in the United States. They also have secure digital memory cards that now can get pretty big. We're using 2 gigabyte size cards, and this provides backup and also a way of moving data between units and collecting data at a central site. And we use them both for backup and for data movement. In addition to the case management system, you've got a data capture capability so that you can do survey presentation and survey data capture. The GATS surveys are fairly long. There is a screening survey where a household is screened to look for potential respondents to the application. That might take 5 or 10 minutes, but the tobacco use survey can be 20 to 25 minutes. So these are relatively long surveys. The reason a mobile device was selected for even what we consider a fairly long survey, many of these applications take place in areas where there's no electricity, they're done outside, they may be done under a tree, in places where you need a device that's not dependent on power and works well outside. And this has proven effective for that. The GSS is table-driven, which means that you can configure questionnaires fairly quickly. The GATS protocol allows each country to add questions to the questionnaire and to modify the core questionnaire with some constraints. So each country has a different questionnaire, and there's a development activity to bring up each questionnaire within country. GSS supports multiple languages, and we've done close to 30 languages now, lots of fonts, lots of different characters, and we need to be able to both display fonts and allow data entry in different fonts, right to left, left to right fonts. We've done Mandarin, we've done Arabic, and we've that's been a development activity that's taken a lot of time and has been customized for each country. The development tools that we use are PC-based, so in developing applications for the handheld, we're typically doing the development on a Windows-based PC. So there are a set of tools that allow you to develop, do questionnaire programming, to add multiple languages. The system will support as many as, I think the limit's set now at 20 languages for a given application. That can be extended. So that in India, they have 19 languages that they, if they're doing national questionnaires supported by the government, they're required to use 19 different languages. So the system can support that many. You can specify any two that you can toggle between at one time and then change that set of two. So you can load up 19 or 20 different languages of a given questionnaire and move through them. It allows the system configuration to also be customized in a given language. So the menu prompts and those things can be set up. It supports analysis file construction, file merging, and building flat files. We're using Windows Access databases to store the metadata for the questionnaire. These databases are the storage location on the PC side. On the handheld side, they get converted to these Windows CE compact SQL files, and we're using that storage. That supports encryption and is a nice, secure, robust data system. I've got some quick screenshots of what the developer's environment looks like. Here's an example of what the developer would see. And then you can see they've got, in this case, I've just come back from China, so I still got the Mandarin system set up, so you've got Mandarin on one side and English on the other. If you had other languages in this drop-down list, then you would just have a long list of languages you could drop down on the other side. Typically, the programming and flow is the same across all, not typically, it is the same for all languages. You develop the flow and the screen flow and the logic checks in one language, and then you just bring in the translations for the other languages, and you can move between them. So the list on the left is the list of the screens that are available, and these are the specifications. So you can provide logic blocks down at the bottom where this says skip or compute logic. You can specify fonts, text sizes. There's a fairly complete programming language built into this system, and it supports fairly complex logic and structure. And if that's not enough, you can write subroutines that can be merged into the main package and write very complicated, for example, like selection algorithms. There's a selection algorithm in the screening process that does sample selection for the households. There's an example down at the bottom of program logic that directs flow and subroutine calls that do validations. Case management on the system is an area that I think that we need to do more development. In the States, we use a case management system and the internet system that's available in the United States and dial-up modems to move data around the country. That works very well. In a lot of the countries we've used for GATS, that infrastructure is not available, and so that data is moved typically to regional locations, and so the handheld machines are brought to a regional location, the data are moved from the handheld to a PC, and then transmitted up to a national data center where they're put together. They can be put together at the regional office, looked at regionally, and then moved on to the national center, or just looked at nationally. Here's an example of what the case management system looks like on the IPAC. You have a list of cases. These cases, again, if you have a network system, you can deliver the cases to the IPAC over the network, recall them and move them around. If you don't have a network, you can bring in memory cards with a case load on it, put the memory card in the machine, load up a new set of cases, but you still have to touch the machine. So the kinds of things you do in the case management system is you manage your caseload. This is where you would start interviews and record the results of interviews, transmit data if you're using a network system, and manage the caseload. Here's an example of where you would load cases or export cases. You can do some database administration. Here's an example of what the questionnaire presentation system looks like on the handheld. This is an example of a list question. It's a very simple structure. There's text at the top that's read to the respondent. In all the surveys we've done, these are administered by an interviewer. So a paid interviewer who's trained by the agency is trained to present the questionnaire, read the questions to the respondent, and record the data. So this is an example of a list question. Here's another question that's collecting text data. And the system supports multiple types of questions. You can have text, you can have numbers, you can have dates, different types. And you can enter text in the native languages. So you can enter Mandarin characters, you can enter Arabic characters. Typically, for each non-Western keyboard, you have to come up with an add-on piece of software for the country. And these are developed typically in country or available in China. There's actually a Mandarin version of this handheld. Where are we? We've done about 30,000 interviews across the countries now. We've developed questionnaires in over 25 languages, and we've supported these sets of non-Western character sets, both for display and for input. What have we learned? We've done a lot of surveys in the U.S. We know that this has been an effective system in the U.S. with a good network infrastructure. One of the questions was, how would this work in developing countries? It's done pretty well. That it's a robust system. Once people get in the field, things work reasonably well. There's good battery life. The machines are pretty tough. It's been well received by the interviewing staff and training staff. That you can train people to use this system fairly quickly, and it's relatively straightforward to use. One thing we had to do was come up with an easier way to do development, and that was the developer's environment that I showed you a little bit before. Questionnaire development is relatively easy. We have been training IT staffs in each of these countries how to develop questionnaires and how to maintain them, and that's gone pretty well. What we need to do, I think, is begin to integrate. In most of these countries, there is a pretty good cell, there's a good voice cell system and emerging cell data systems. And our system does not take advantage of that, and that's something we want to look at. If we could add a network capability to the system, it makes it cleaner, it would allow rapid monitoring of the survey, and it would allow movement of cases between interviewers much better. And that's something we want to look at. So we need to develop easier and more flexible methods to move cases around, and it looks to me like that would be a cell-based system in these countries. That's the quick run through the system. There's my email address if you want to send email. There's a fair amount of documentation now available for GSS and an emerging set of documentation on the GATS development systems. I'd be glad to send you stuff. Just drop me a line at this address. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Loveson. Okay, we have 30 minutes for questions and answers. Now, this is a pretty big room, and unfortunately, I don't have a mic to pass around. So if you are sitting in the back and you would like to ask a question, I would come to the middle a little bit, just so we can all hear you. I do have if you think you guys can pass this around, we can do that. It's just you have to keep your hands off the mic because it makes a lot of noise. So you can ask any of our three presenters anything, and I'll bring you the mic.
We are actually working in the obesity surveillance project, developed the application using the Android-based application. The problem that we are facing is whenever you are developing the application, it is operating system or phone-based process. That means if you develop something like the mobile 6-based, you cannot use the same application in Google phone or iPhone. My question is, just a couple of days ago, I just see a short notice that there is one software that has been developed to crisscross this talk. Anybody knows about it? What it means that if I develop any application based on the Google phone, I can use that third-party software to use the same application. I don't have to develop another application. Same application that can run in the iPhone, that can run in the mobile 6. Are you familiar with that software?
No. I mean, we've seen that problem. Those mobile environments.
Right, this is the problem, right. It's a problem. But there is a software available. I'm trying to find out what anybody knows.
Java platform for mobile computing, and if that's the case, then it would be.
Is that an open source system?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you write down somewhere that everybody can actually get the information.
Yeah, I haven't researched it personally. I've only done the top level.
Right, you're from Oxford, so it'll be.
Okay, my name is Preston Wang from CDC. I have a question for RTI and the Florida State Department. Question for you. Do you use any kind of security and the encryption during the transmission of data from your mobile units to the home base? What kind of security measure you take?
The handheld supports, the databases on the handheld support encryption, so they are encrypted. And it's got good security for, you know, the database encryption is good. For transmission, you can use secure socket layer transmissions over the web. You can also send, you know, doubly encrypt, so you can encrypt the packets and then send them over secure socket, and we're doing that in the States. As you move the data around on those little memory cards, those databases are also encrypted. So there's pretty good security on that system. We also have a user login that's required, similar to the Florida system. You need to log into the application, so you need to know a password to get started. Because one thing that's certainly true of these devices, they will be lost. They will be lost and stolen. People are going to leave them in a restaurant, leave them on top of the car and drive off. So you need security on the systems for sure.
Andrew Seidman from AED Satellite, and to respond to your question, I'm sorry I didn't catch your name, we are in the process of developing an open source system, and it doesn't solve the problem of working on iPhones, but our system, with some adaptation, will allow you to use it on any Java-enabled phone. And almost all phones are now Java-enabled, even ones that cost under $100. So I will be happy to give you information, and you can look into it. If you're set on using an Android phone or something like that, this isn't going to solve the problem. But it does solve the problem of having to use only one type of phone. The forms themselves need to be formatted to fit the screen of the different phone, but that's not a major problem. Yeah. Okay. And I just wanted to respond to something you just said. We've been running a project in Uganda that's now going into its, I think it's fifth year, and what we find is that people don't lose their PDAs. They are so pleased, so thrilled to have them that I don't think we've. You know, I honestly don't think we've had more than a handful lost or stolen over the course of the year. Years, and we now have 600 users using PDAs. They use them every day, and they keep them with them all the time. So.
Any more questions?
If anyone's interested in the system I described, I have lots of brochures, and I'm happy to announce, or I'm not officially supposed to announce, but to say that we've now set a target date for releasing the code as open source software. We've been in the testing process for over a year, and the target date is November 1st, but please don't hold me to it.